A reading from James. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but have no works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to him, "Go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith, by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Mark. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demons out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our reading from the letter of James last Sunday declared that Christians must be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Our reading from the Gospel of Mark last Sunday declared that worship is in vain when one honors God only with the lips, but not the heart. Loving God and loving our neighbors isn't something faithful people just say. It's what they feel and what they think and what they do. Our readings this morning continue where last week's readings left off and build on those same themes. After his encounter with the Pharisees and some scribes, Jesus left Gennesaret and went away to the region of Tyre. That was a bizarre trip for Jesus to make. Tyre was about 35 miles north of where he was, and it was deep into Gentile territory. In Tyre, Jesus was an outsider. We can't know why Jesus went to Tyre. Maybe he wanted to get as far away from the crowds as possible. Maybe he wanted to get as far away from the Pharisees and the scribes as he could. Maybe he just felt called by God to go there. Who knows? What we know is that it was an odd destination for Jesus. In Tyre, Jesus met a Gentile woman of Syrophoenician origin who begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She was the complete picture of what the Pharisees and the scribes considered unclean. She was not Jewish by religion, politics, or ethnicity. And she was a she, an unaccompanied female who approached and struck up a conversation with a man. She could not have been more unclean if she had leprosy. But word about Jesus had obviously traveled even to Tyre. She knew what Jesus could do. She knew what he had done previously. She wanted that for her daughter. Where Jesus was isn't the only thing odd about this story. What he said was puzzling too. "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." We can't know exactly why or what Jesus meant when he called the woman a dog, but we can know this. Jesus said, "Let the children be fed first." Not "let the children be fed only." Let the children be fed first. What God was doing in Jesus was much bigger than the children of Israel. Jesus was aware of that, even if his step-by-step plan had to be altered. I believe that when Paul wrote to the Philippians that Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, and humbled himself. Part of what that meant was that Jesus didn't know everything that was going to happen in his life before it happened. His loving God and loving his neighbor was just as often reactive as it was proactive. Like us. Like we learned last week. Loving God and loving neighbors isn't just what we say, it's what we do. Proactively and reactively. The encounter of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman was like a test of that. Jesus was in an odd place and met an odd person and responded initially by saying something odd. But the woman was reactive too. And she countered, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." She had gotten the point that the Pharisees and the scribes had missed. She had gotten the point that even the disciples hadn't gotten. Unclean is not about country or ethnicity or religion or gender. It is about what is in your heart. What was in the woman's heart was only love for her daughter and the belief that Jesus could do something about it. I think Jesus' next response was awesome and possibly in awe of the woman. Jesus said, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." You're right. Good point. Exactly. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee. Remember that he left the area of the Sea of Galilee and traveled 35 miles north to Tyre. Instead of returning to the sea that way, he went another 20 miles north to Sidon in order to get back to the sea. Making that return trip a 50-mile hike. I assume that Jesus did in those northern 50 miles what he did everywhere else. Taught and preached and healed and cast out demons. His encounter with the Syrophoenician woman had certainly opened that door. Or maybe he was just on vacation, which he certainly deserved. When Jesus returned, they brought to him a man who was deaf and could not speak. And Jesus said, "Be opened." And immediately the man's ears were open and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. I don't know why in this case Jesus did the touching and the spitting and the sighing. It doesn't matter. What matters is that the man's ears were opened and his tongue was released. The Pharisees and scribes were deaf to what Jesus had been preaching and teaching, as well as blind to all that he was doing. The disciples of Jesus were still pretty much deaf to what Jesus had been preaching and teaching, and they really couldn't even teach or preach the message themselves yet. Jesus has the power to cure, not just physical, but spiritual deafness, and to inspire proclamation of the gospel. A again and again in the Gospels, we hear of Jesus curing deafness and blindness. Again and again, followers of Jesus are called to have ears to hear and eyes to see and voices to speak and hearts to believe and hands to enact who Jesus is. And seeing and hearing and speaking and believing and doing is what faith in Jesus is. Which brings us to the letter of James, from which we heard last week that followers of Jesus are to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. This part that we read today, Martin Luther didn't like very much at all. Luther thought that James's question, "Can faith save you?" must be answered absolutely and emphatically, yes. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But I don't think that's the point James was trying to make. In fact, I think Luther's theology, though he would never say so, actually agreed with James' theology, whose theology actually agreed with Jesus. Faith by itself is dead. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. Do good works save us? No. Do a combination of faith and good works save us? No. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But faith without works isn't faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith is seeing and hearing and speaking and believing and doing. I'm sure that I should have probably said something about this being God's Work, Our Hands Sunday. But if I have to connect those dots for you, maybe Jesus will spit and sigh and stick his fingers in your ears so that you can hear and see and speak and believe and do. Amen.